In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
One SEC team is already 3-0 to start the season, and that's going to create some problems. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Friday. Where are you listening to me right now? Wherever you're driving around, maybe in your office, maybe you're sharing a meal right now and you've got me on your device. Wherever it is, I certainly appreciate you coming here for your 2 hours of college football conversation every day. That is what we bring you. And the Tennessee Vols, go ahead and mark this down, folks. You are 3-0. Now, what is the level of achievement for that? Well, for two of the teams, Georgia State, that's your opener. That's on Saturday, August 31st. That's your opener this year. And Georgia State is a program that's hard to get a handle on. They've come close in the past. They actually had a lead, I want to say, at Wisconsin a couple of years back, maybe the 16 season. They had a lead at Wisconsin and weren't able to hold on to it in the fourth quarter and wind up losing there. They gave Air Force a little bit of a run out in Colorado Springs a few seasons back. But Georgia State, they're sort of in transition that when they lose their best player, then they're likely to flounder for at least a season, maybe two. They had a kid named Nick Arbuckle playing quarterback, record-setting quarterback, took them to the program's first ever bowl game back after the the 15 season, and that was great. And they have rallied down the end of the season, got to six wins, got to a bowl game, big deal for Georgia State. And then Nick Arbuckle left and kind of took the quality quarterback in with him. And then Georgia State plummeted. So that's where they are right now. If they get the right kid, then they can be a little dangerous and threaten you a little bit, but they're not good enough to win. So that's Georgia State. You're losing in Knoxville, Tennessee, 1-0. Week three, also at home, Chattanooga Mocs, that will be whatever score Jeremy Pruitt decides will be the final score. In between, you've got a visit from the BYU Cougars. Now, the reason I'm saying 3-0, and I'm not giving you an opinion, folks, that's a fact. You're already 3-0. All right, you're putting your head on the pillow. It is Saturday night, September 14th, and as you go to bed, the Vols are 3-0. The BYU game is interesting by reputation and brand name only. That's not a quality football program right now. And if you are old enough to think back, and see, this is the tricks that your mind will play, because it takes a while to unlearn things. You ever thought about that? It's always from the context of, well, I'm going to learn a foreign language. How long will it take? Or I'm going to study for my real estate license. How long will it take? We always think about how long it'll take to learn something new. It takes a while to unlearn things. And when you grow up in most of your life, you know that, look at all the games today. This. Oh, you got to play BYU? You start with the noon kicks in the East, and you start working your way through the daily schedule, and you see, oh, Penn State's on at noon. I'm going to watch that game. Oh, look, Florida Gators play at 3:30. I'm going to watch that game. Oh, BYU's there. They're 10:30. Oh, I can end with a good game. No, you're not ending with a good game. Not now, because that's not who BYU is. Not now. They were. BYU, I'm going to try to remember this. They got shut out in 1975. They were playing Arizona State in one of their first few games that year, and they got shut out. BYU didn't get shut out again until, like, 2009. And they were throwing the football before almost anybody else. San Diego State was throwing it and a few others. But BYU was at the leading edge of so much that is just normal offense now. It was, oh, my God, those crazy Mormons flinging the football around. But that's not what BYU is right now. They're a challenge in name, reputation, et cetera. I'll put it this way. It's kind of like if you were playing UCLA. UCLA, I don't know that they have as much football history as Brigham Young, to be honest. Well, they got a Heisman Trophy winner. So does Brigham Young. So imagine like playing UCLA, but because we pay a little more attention to a Power 5 conference, even the Pac-12, way out west, we pay a little more attention to a Pac-12 conference team than we do a team like Brigham Young. All right, because UCLA, at least they're kind of attached. They could be in the Rose Bowl, et cetera. Playing Brigham Young right now, it's just like playing the UCLA Bruins. It is a reputation. It's a brand. It is a, quote, big program, but they're not very good. So let's fast forward then to that scenario I was laying out. September 14th, they play Chattanooga. Let me go ahead and remove some mystery here. That is the noon kick on the SEC Network. That's going to be, I don't know, does Andre Ware still do games? Andre Ware, as bad a color analyst as you'll ever see on good games, Andre Ware, that really just reeks of an Andre Ware game. It'll be noon, and so game's over at about 2:45, and maybe they have a running clock in the fourth quarter. But you get in your car, you drive home, you're in Antioch or Maryville, or you live in Birmingham, and you drive up for the game, whatever, you go home. Imagine the scenario. You get in bed, head on a pillow, Saturday, September 14th, and your Vols are 3-0. I think that they might win three games the rest of the way. And that's how the 3-0 starts going to create problems. If you sprinkled these games in a different order around the dance card, it would be a different response from Vols fans. But think about, like, Kentucky fans in years past when, Mark Stoops would start 4-0, 5-1, and we've got this big national game, and Mississippi State's in town, and, oh, we hung with them for about a half, and then they started making all the plays. That's actually a big part of why Mark Stoops was getting so much pushback at the end of those seasons, not because of the actual record, because I think most Kentucky fans, if you could get them out of the emotional room and drop them into the room of truth, how talented is your roster? Well, we're about a 5-win team. Well, how many did you win? 5. Well, what are you angry about? Well, we started 5-1, and then we lost 6 straight. That's what's setting up for Jeremy Pruitt. Because following the 3-0 start that's already on the books, folks, all right, if you can somehow string together a money line 3-game parlay, bet it, cash the ticket. September 14th, a mere 14 days into the season, you have 3 wins. The rest of the way, I think you might get there. Because the following Saturday, you play the Florida Gators, and you can beat them. But they're better, and they're at home, and it would be surprising. Even coming off a bye week, your next game, and even being at home, it's the Georgia Bulldogs. You can't win that game. Now, there is always the disclaimer of, hey, it's sports. We don't know. You can't win that game. You're not good enough. Everything that, well, it fumbles and turnovers and a block kick and sure, all of that and a bad penalty, I get every scenario you can lay out. I'm saying that it's not just the overall talent level that you can't win. Because I already told you, Florida's got more talent. You can win that game, even with it being in Gainesville. I don't think you will, but you could. Because of where Georgia's strengths lie, and because of the specific place, and I'm saying physically, but also psychologically, confidence-wise, where Kirby has that program right now, you can't win that game. In fact, it would be better for you if that game was actually in Athens. Because if you're not winning anyway, you don't want to waste one of your home games on Georgia. That's where you are right now with your division foe. Not with Florida, close, but not with Florida. Not with South Carolina, not with whomever else, just with Georgia. That it stinks that it's actually a home game. Then it's Mississippi State. Honestly, you're getting to a toss-up situation there. Not even going to try, but that's one of those games. It's a losable game, but in that you're at home, and I think that things are trending where like they're coming down a little bit, and maybe you passed them. You got a great shot that day. But if you look at the rest of the schedule, see, that's the best scenario I can give you for any of your opponents, and one of them is going to shock you. Everything. The reason I just went into so much detail about Mississippi State and how you match up against them is because that is the best summary I can give you for any matchup from October 12th on for Tennessee. It's Alabama. It's South Carolina. Believe it or not, it's UAB. And I will tell you the same thing about Tennessee at home against UAB as I will against Mississippi State. You're at home. I think you're better, and you should get the win. If UAB wins, wouldn't shock me at all, because I know the caliber of that pro. And not even at the Conference USA level. Oh, heck with that. UAB absolutely could win that game. And then it's Kentucky, Missouri, and Vanderbilt. If you're a Tennessee fan right now, you give me the guaranteed win. I gave you 3. I want you to give me 1. Oh, and by the way, what is the 1 guarantee? Oh, it'll be UAB. Fine. You beat the Blazers. Where are your next 2 wins coming? Because you need to guarantee me. And see, now you start getting into, well, we can win two of Mississippi State, Vandy, and Missouri. And maybe you win all three of them. But there is the problem that we're saying we can win. We're Tennessee, and I hope you realize that the problem isn't actually getting two of three or maybe winning all three of those games. The problem is it's Tennessee, and we're discussing scenarios where you get to 6-6. And at some point, it just has to get better. There's a bigger discussion here about what you actually thought of Butch Jones versus what you really believe about Jeremy Pruitt. But in the interim, there is a 12-game slate out there. The Pruitt's got to field a team for. And the bar still hasn't been raised in Knoxville. And that is the biggest problem that I have. The number one hallmark achievement I'm waiting for that program is, when do the expectations come back? Because I'm tired of having conversations with Tennessee folks about how you can get to 500 and get to the absolute worst bowl that the SEC has a tie-in with.
Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7.
Call 800-674-9903. 800-674-9903. 800-674-9903.
Attorney Advertising. William Stepacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
This is an important announcement. If you're between 50 and 85 and worried about your loved ones, you can still get affordable life insurance for peace of mind.
My life insurance coverage is guaranteed, and I was not required to get a medical exam.
I had high blood pressure and diabetes, and I got my coverage with one telephone call. No exam necessary.
I'm a smoker, and I wanted to take care of my family. I called to get my life insurance and my affairs in order. I wanted to do the right thing.
Call Final Expense No Exam Insurance. Your rates are guaranteed and will never increase.
I called and learned that this insurance cannot be canceled, even if you get sick or gain weight.
And there are no restrictions on how my beneficiaries use the money when I'm gone.
Don't wait until it's too late. Call now and get peace of mind for you and your family. Call 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379. 800-446-3379.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places. The places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. So we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Dickey Broadcasting is a proud supporter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And through programs like Team and Training, the Society helps over 3,000 athletes a year accomplish their goal of training and completing an endurance event, including marathons, triathlons, and cycling events. The Team and Training program is open for everyone and has raised almost $1 billion to fund leukemia and lymphoma research since its inception. Visit teamandtraining.org/GA and hit the Tell Me More button. Help save lives 1 mile at a time.
Catch the king of college football no matter where you go with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. I say that all the time, and in particular, why I'm saying it right now is I also realize I could do a show every day where I come on, 2 hours, red light, talking into the microphone, and all I do is talk Alabama football and how great Nick Saban is. I understand that I could fill a full two-hour program just about every single day with all the accolades and achievements and different ways to summarize everything that Nick Saban has done as a head coach. So I understand that we're never at a loss for that stuff, but with so much attention on the draft right now, and it's fun. It just is. Mock drafts are fun. Talking about potential trades are fun. When you talk about your NFL team, and I'm a Bears fan or a Vikings fan or I'm a Seahawks fan, and you're only thinking about, and hey, we're going to add this guy in our first-round draft pick. It's just fun. Because all you're thinking about is, I know where we were last year, and I'm adding a giant defensive tackle or a great receiver, or we needed one more running back, and now we got thunder and lightning. That's all we think about with the NFL draft is the add. We don't think about that, you know, oh, wait a minute, we lost three guys to free agency and whatever. So it's fun, and that has so much value. It does. I mean, life can't be huge issues and is my kid getting held back in fourth grade every day. That's why we love sports. But when it comes to Nick Saban in particular, there is yet another way that Nick Saban is the best ever, even at Alabama. We're a year away from Bama sending the number one overall pick to the NFL. It's going to be Tua. And that has never happened ever, not even with Joe Namath. Because remember, he was the first overall pick, I believe, in the AFL draft with the Jets. I want to say it was the St. Louis Cardinals at that point. Remember, they moved to Phoenix back in 1991, whenever. Became the Phoenix Cardinals, then morphed into the Arizona Cardinals. But when they were in St. Louis, I think they picked Joe Namath because they were in the NFL. They took Joe Namath with like maybe the sixth overall pick. If I'm wrong, Chuck apologizes. But they've never had the first overall pick in the NFL draft, and they're going to with Tua. Alabama, with so many All-SEC players, All-American players, Pro Football Hall of Famers. Ozzie Newsome, maybe the greatest tight end before passing yards and catches became absurd ever. He wasn't the first overall pick. Joe Namath wasn't the first overall pick. Ken Stabler wasn't the first overall pick. Bart Starr wasn't the first overall pick. And keep in mind that the NFL draft goes back to 1930, either 6 or 38 or 39 or sometime in the 30s. And so it encompasses the salad days, the golden era of Alabama football, which, by the way, is where we are right now. So you've had multiple other coaches win national championships. You had one other coach there win 6 national championships. And you still have never had this happen, and it will a year from now with Nick Saban. Remember, when he arrived in 07, Alabama had never had a Heisman winner either. Now they have 2, and they should have had a 3rd last year with Tua. So, believe me, folks, unprecedented things at any school is awesome. If Barry Odom takes Mizzou to new places that they never achieved with Dan Devine or Gary Pinkel or anyone else, that is great. Bully for Barry Odom. It's more great when anyone does it at a place like Alabama. And Nick Saban is doing it without even trying, it seems. So, just again, we're about a year away from the next all-time landmark coming out of Tuscaloosa. Dan Matthews, how are you today?
In all fairness, I feel like in certain cases, perspective is being lost in Tuscaloosa right now, because I was listening to Nick Saban's press conference the other day, and I understand they're coming off a loss like they have really never gone through mm-hmm. before against Clemson in the national title game. But I feel like people are asking him the same questions. Like the other day, we heard Manny Diaz being asked about the new Miami. And in this case, with Nick Saban, it was about the quote-unquote Alabama factor that has been talked about, which a lot of us know as the process there in Tuscaloosa. And Saban was asked about, do you have to reinstitute it?
It isn't a slogan. I didn't come up with it. It's been who I am for the last 20-some years. It's been who we are ever since we've been here. I mean, you could ask somebody that played on, you know, the first, second team that we had here that went 12-0 or whatever and lost in the SEC championship game, and they could recite and tell you exactly what that is, because, you know, that's so it's not a slogan. It's really what the program's built on.
And with that being said, I mean, in terms of trying to build off of what happened last year and trying to be able to come back from that, that's never been Nick Saban's issue. Nick Saban's issue has been, we've won so much, we can't make people believe that this is the expectation. We have to make people believe this is the expectation, but we have to also show them that there are ways that we have to go about doing this that are different from what we've done in the past, because what we've done in the past is not going to work in the future, because people are going to catch up to us. But just because we lost a game like we did against Clemson doesn't mean we have to completely rewrite the books around here.
Well, one thing that Saban has done just at an outstanding level is, you know, the phrase that I use all the time is, what's done is done. All right, once something is in the rear view, leave it there. You can't change it. That is the one thing in life. There ain't no magic wand. And so he'll take the ultimately disappointing outcome and he will use it as a motivator. He did that in 2010 when they went from national champs to fourth in their own division. And I think he's going to do it following this year's national championship game, too.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called The Tax Doctor. And The Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less. 800-262-4182. 800-262-4182. That's 800-262-4182.
This is James Laura, managing partner of Alexander Shannara & Associates. As a fan of college football, you know the Southeast is filled with teams who excel at and are serious about their craft. The same can be said about our firm's legal team. With offices in five states, including Atlanta, Georgia, our local teams of all-star attorneys are here to serve you. Whether you've been involved in a motor vehicle accident or hurt by a defective product or drug, at Alexander Shannara & Associates, we prove it. Visit us online today at alexandershannara.com.
Uber has been doing a ton of great things this last year, and Uber Rewards is going to make you love Uber even more. With Uber Rewards, you'll get rewarded for things you're already doing. Every eligible dollar you spend on rides and Uber Eats earns you points that unlock amazing benefits, like Uber Cash, complimentary surprise upgrades, flexible cancellations, and so much more. Your life is about to get more rewarding thanks to Uber. Get all the info and terms at uber.com/rewards. That's uber.com/rewards.
I'm in almost every school bus and classroom.
I go to school with your children.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance together.
You see me around the neighborhood and you tell me that I'm a pretty good kid.
Well, I'm one out of every five children in America and I'm struggling with hunger.
This problem is closer than you think. My teacher tells me we can grow up to be whatever we want.
I want to grow up to be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry.
There's enough food in this country to feed everybody.
Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank for ways to help.
Every dollar you donate helps provide 8 meals for kids like me, quietly struggling with hunger.
Together, we are Feeding America, brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Miami is on the practice field, just like I'm going to say everybody else now. They hit the practice field for the first time, Monday or Tuesday this week, as they're trying to turn the page as quickly as possible on for any team that we had real expectations for, like, hey, they're going to achieve something. They could be playing in a conference championship game if not winning the thing. I don't think it's any stretch to say Miami was as disappointing as any team in America last year. You preseason top 10, and that's gone by, what, before you even turn the page to Labor Day. Manny does a great job covering him. We always like catching up with him when it's time to talk the U. From InsideTheU.com, it is David Lake. David, welcome back. How you doing?
Doing good, Chuck. Football season never ends.
Yeah,
glad to be on with you.
I appreciate you making time. Tate Martell's out there practicing and eligible. Now, he was going to practice regardless, but I got to imagine it puts a little pep in his step and really a lot of folks around the program when you realize that this kid is different, he is special, and he actually is eligible for the coming season.
Yeah, definitely. Miami got some good news there after the first spring practice on Tuesday, and really what it means is just that the quarterback competition now is for real. So you have Tate Martell competing with returning guys like Nikosi Perry and Jaron Williams, who are talented guys in their own right. But certainly Tate Martell was brought in to be the starter. There's no doubt about that. But he has to go out and prove it now this spring and summer.
Tell me about his skill set and his what is possible with Tate Martell, because I think most of us, and I'm talking about myself as well, we have an idea, well, he's this short runaround guy that, you know, they're going to have to operate outside the pocket with, you know, half rolls and sprint outs and things like that. Is that true about Tate Martell? Can he operate in the pocket, or is he strictly just a guy you want to get outside the tackles?
From what I've seen so far of him through these three practices, you pretty much nailed it. I don't think, like, of those three guys, he's probably the worst in the pocket, but he is the most athletic guy, so you want to get him on the edges, you want to do some zone read option with him, you want to do some RPOs. So he's an athletic guy. He's not really at his best from the pocket. Like, honestly, he kind of just naturally throws a wobbly ball. I don't think I've ever seen a tight spiral from him yet. But that doesn't necessarily mean he still can't be their best option.
Well, tell me about the other kids then, because Jaron Williams, you know, for a minute, oh, he's leaving, and then he decided to stay. And with Nikosi Perry, I don't know if he's ever said anything or anyone who, you know, was in his, quote, camp has said anything, but I jumped the gun. I was like, if Tate Martell gets eligible, one or both of those kids is leaving. Tell me about the opportunity that they have to actually win this job from Tate Martell.
Yeah, I think it's true that certainly if they can see the way it's going to go during the spring, that they definitely might transfer after the spring or during fall camp this year. But certainly those two guys, they are talented guys in their own right. Like, Jaron is, he's an intriguing passer. Like, he's probably the best natural passer from the pocket of the three guys. And then Nikosi kind of combines the skill sets of Jaren and Tate. Nikosi probably has the biggest arm of the group and probably the most natural the highest natural talent of the group. But with Nikosi, it comes down to his head and just how focused he is and how bad he really wants to play football. So there's certainly challenges with all three of the guys. And like you alluded to, I think with the two returners now that Tate Martell is kind of eligible, everyone expects him to be the starter. But I'm not quite ready to jump to that conclusion yet. We'll see how it looks during the spring scrimmages.
It's interesting that Miami has at least an idea about not just a tight end, but maybe a couple with Jordan and then also Michael Irvin. Is he back from the knee injury?
Michael Irvin's back, and then they also have Will Mallory, who was another talented freshman last year. So they got a nice little three-headed monster there at tight end, which is good because the new offensive coordinator, Dan Enos, likes to shift a lot, motion a lot before the snap, and he likes to use a lot of tight ends on the field at once. So that's definitely good for a Miami program that certainly has a nice tradition at tight end. A
couple more minutes with David Lake. Get him on Twitter at DavidLake3. He is the publisher of InsideTheU.com. Let's go out then to the perimeter because I know, you know, Amon Richards, his career is over for injury. Lawrence Cager transfers. Jeff Thomas transfers, then comes back. Walk me through some of the options that Tate Martell or whomever the quarterback is. I imagine Jeff Thomas, if he's squared away, you know, emotionally and, you know, discipline-wise, that he'll be the go-to. But take me through the two or three options besides Jeff Thomas.
Yeah, so they brought in another transfer, a graduate transfer from Buffalo, and KJ Osborne, who had about 850 receiving yards last year for Buffalo. And they're excited about him, to be honest. He's kind of come in and been a veteran leader already, which is what that group needed because it's pretty young, pretty immature. So KJ, I kind of see KJ Osborne as being like a Braxton Berrios type receiver for them, just a solid guy, dependable guy. And then outside of him, it's kind of rising sophomores who are talented but haven't done anything yet. Guys like Mark Pope, who was a top 50 recruit, D. Wiggins, who played the most of the true freshmen last year, but still has to be more consistent. And then Brian Hightower was another four-star guy. So they certainly have talent, but they also need those guys to step up and show that they're more than just talent.
Miami, they've got a fair enough history in the week one neutral site games. Obviously, and most recently the LSU game last year, and we know what they're doing in Orlando, moving it up a week against the Gators. What's the attitude of the fan base in Florida being on the schedule in the season opener this year? What's the approach to that game?
I think first the fan base was kind of bummed. The people that, you know, lived outside of the state and bought tickets, and it's certainly a hassle for them to have to change their plans. But I think once everything settled down, I think the fan base got really excited about the matchup because they're kind of going to be the only show in town. And it's a chance for Manny Diaz to potentially make a statement in his first game with all eyeballs on that game. So certainly Miami's going to go into that game as the underdog, and they should. Florida, with the way Florida finished their season last year, but I think the two rosters are closer than people think, and Miami can make a game of it if their defense comes to play.
If we look a little later in the season, and then, I mean, this is not a kind of game that I wouldn't imagine Miami would have a question about the actual scoreboard, but the matchup with FIU that they're going to play at the Marlins Stadium, what's kind of behind that? Because I love those matchups, whether it's Miami and FIU or, you know, whoever. I love those sort of, you know, you share the city, you share the county, let's play every so often, even if we're in different conferences or different levels. I love that matchup.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I think the reason why it is at Marlins Park is because it was a home-and-home series originally, and Miami has some sort of clause where if you're going to host us, you need to be able to have, like, I don't know, 50,000 people in your stadium, and FIU Stadium can't meet that number, so they had to move it to Marlins Park. And yeah, like you said, it's going to be a fun little kind of late season change-up type game for Miami. And last year they played FIU, and there was, you know, FIU and Miami, a lot of alumni who went to FIU are Miami fans, so it's always an interesting game in the stands too.
All right, last thing for you. And again, you mentioned this guy earlier, Dan Enos. Why is he on the staff in Miami and not Tuscaloosa? Because it's not often that, you know, anyone has an offer from Nick Saban, whether it's a player, coach, whomever. It's not often that you got an offer from Nick Saban and you take somebody else's, especially when you have a chance to coach Tua Tagovailoa for another year versus the mystery that the Miami quarterback room is. Why did Dan Enos take that job? Why is he there?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of reasons. I think partly because he does want to live in South Florida. I think it's attractive to live here. And then also, you know, Nick Saban isn't the easiest guy to work for. And, you know, a lot of guys can only work for Nick a year or two before they kind of get burnt out or tired of it. And I think it's fair to say that that might have happened with Coach Enos. And, you know, an opportunity arose at Miami, and he kind of liked the way that Manny Diaz, the vision Manny Diaz had for his program. And I think Dan Enos kind of has full reign of the offensive side of the ball. Like, he's going to be able to do whatever he wants. He's essentially the head coach of the offense, and that's attractive to him. And I think he does still have head coaching aspirations. He was the head coach at Central Michigan a while back. And he kind of views this as an opportunity, maybe as a stepping stone to get back to being a head coach.
Well, David, always appreciate the info, brother. Thank you for coming on today.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, David Lake from InsideTheU.com. If you look at the Miami schedule for the coming season, they have their spring game. I think it's going to be April 20th. And they're actually, I think, trying to remember, they having their scrimmage, are they just having a scrimmage or their, quote, spring game, because they're doing it in Orlando. In fact, yeah, they're doing it at the same place that they're having the week one game, or actually the pre-week one game against Florida. But if you look at the reason I mentioned that is because I believe that was the spot on the schedule for another Miami home game. And so they're in the same spot as everybody else, that you decide to go with a neutral site game and you lose the ability to put something in your home stadium. As far as what they're doing at Hard Rock Stadium down in Miami, this is your home slate. This is what, coming off the, again, as big a difference between the reality and the expectations. And the expectations, I think, were kind of well-placed going into last year. As big a difference between the eventual outcome and what we were all expecting as any program in America. That's what you have with the Hurricanes. You have more enthusiasm now. When Mark Richt left, you're thinking, wait a minute. Our one of our own had come home, and even he looks at the program after 3 years and says, yeah, I'm out. See, that's a low point. But even with the excitement of Manny Diaz, trying to gin up the excitement of hiring Manny Diaz, bringing him back, et cetera, with all of that, against the backdrop of everything you know about Miami football, do you know what the home schedule is that you're trying to pitch this year? These are the games that you're going to your fans or just the casual fringe person around Dade County and saying, hey, want some tickets? Bethune-Cookman, Central Michigan, you get Virginia and Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech. And then you get Louisville. Folks, that's it. Louisville, with Lamar Jackson, you at least had a reason to watch, and you knew that there were some future NFL players on that defense. So that was a draw, sort of. But even with Lamar Jackson, it was mostly just a one-man show. But Lamar Jackson, I mean, by the time they play that game this November, he'll be at the end of his second NFL season. And Louisville's already got a new coach. And Louisville's, they have a different stadium name. That's how far removed we are from Lamar Jackson days. That's the Louisville team that's coming into Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. Louisville, Georgia Tech, the two Virginia schools, Central Michigan, and Bethune-Cookman. How you are selling season tickets, I have. In fact, does Miami require a donation? Because I don't know how you get somebody to, because this is how it works, folks. The donation is sort of like the cover charge. And I know there are folks listening right now that we're on in Columbia, South Carolina. There's a Gamecock season ticket holder going, yep, I know. We're on in Montgomery. There's a Bama and an Auburn season ticket holder. We're on in Chattanooga, UT. I know all over the place there are season ticket holders listening right now going, yep, you got to send in a check. It's a cover charge. Before we'll let you order the drink, you need to give me $15 at the door. Before I will allow you to hand over several hundred or a couple of $1,000s, before I will give you that pleasure, you need to pay the cover charge. You need to write me a check first. Not every school has always had those. I know that specifically if you're, you know, quote, a basketball school, for instance, you're going to have it. Because you have so many fewer tickets. I mean, you're 9,000 seats at Duke, for God's sakes. If you are a monster football program, you're going to have it. If you're a middling football program, you're going to have it. If you want to get to be, I hope we can be good enough that we're middling, you're going to have it. In football, virtually everyone has it. In basketball, not so. But in football, if you're getting season tickets, you're paying the cover charge first. I wonder what the system is at Miami. Because you're telling someone, maybe it's a first time, hey, I'm Steve. I've just moved here and I'm a big fan. How do I get season tickets? Maybe it's, hey, I'm Steve. I graduated in 1978 and I've had season tickets the last 37 years and I'm not having my tickets anymore. How do this? Look at this home schedule. If you work for the U, you have to tell Steve, either the recent transplant from Wichita or Steve, the 1978 graduate of the U, yeah, Bethune-Cookman, Central Michigan, the two Virginia schools, Georgia Tech, and Louisville. I need $2,500 per ticket up front. Then you can write us a check for the cost of the tickets. Honestly, who salesperson of the year, whoever takes that belt home from the Miami Athletic Department this year, it needs to be more than just a plaque and a pat on the back at the Christmas party, I promise you.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from Resort Release, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contract. Resort Release is offering a Better Business Bureau accredited way to legally get rid of your timeshare guaranteed. With our guarantee and transfer service, you'll never pay another timeshare maintenance bill again, and your contract will be terminated. You can begin saving today, even if you've tried another company to get rid of your timeshare. Call and see if we can help. At Resort Release, we only accept payment after an agreement has been made to get you out of your timeshare. Make this completely free call and learn how this honest Midwest-based company can help anyone, anywhere, legally get out of their timeshare nightmare guaranteed. Call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation.
800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. 800-712-8005. That's 800-712-8005.
Attention.
Do you have chronic back pain, knee pain, or arthritis? If you have Medicare or private insurance like Aetna, UnitedHealthcare, Humana, or Blue Cross, you may qualify for a safe, drug-free remedy for your everyday back and knee pain, but you must call now. You may be eligible for a pain-relieving back or knee brace at little or no cost to you. These pain relief braces are ideal for back pain, arthritis, sciatica, leg pain, knee pain, and other painful conditions that make life difficult. Our associates will work directly with Medicare or your insurance company for free. Your knee or back brace will be delivered directly to your door. Imagine playing with your grandkids or enjoying tennis or golf again. Call the National Knee and Back Brace Center to qualify for your Medicare or insurance-covered knee or back brace.
Call 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087, 800-301-6087.
Dickey Broadcasting is a proud supporter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. And through programs like Team and Training, the Society helps over 3,000 athletes a year accomplish their goal of training and completing an endurance event, including marathons, triathlons, and cycling events. The Team and Training program is open for everyone and has raised almost $1 billion to fund leukemia and lymphoma research since its inception. Visit teamandtraining.org/GA and hit the Tell Me More button. Help save lives 1 mile at a time.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest.
I feel like I'm choking.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
You know how to react to their asthma attacks. Here's how to prevent them. Visit www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA and the Ad Council.
My name is Ruth Rusey. I'm a retired teacher. I'm 91 years old, and this is how I live United. I say retired, but not really. Once a week, I read books to children as part of United Way's education program. Reading to a child creates links between language and literacy. It creates a bond between grown-up and child. And believe it or not, it prepares them for a better academic future. Oh, we read about frogs and flies and pigs with wings, all sorts of juicy stuff. It's a joy to watch all those little faces. I figure I have the time and they have the need. And I've always believed that if we're not here to help each other, then what are we here for, really? My name is Ruth Russi. I help kids prepare to succeed in school. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
Chuck Oliver Show continuing on a Friday, and when the subject of conference realignment and expansion comes up, it's a regular occurrence, and we actually settled down a little bit after the most recent round because of a lot of grant and media rights deals that were just born out of necessity with a lot of the conference, not from the media side, believe me, this is from the conference. Born out of necessity, as everyone except the SEC was on guard. Even the Big Ten, which they figured things out. They started the Big Ten Network. If you go back to, I'm going to try to remember here, I know the SEC Network started fall of 14. Remember, they had a giant announcement party, big Hilton downtown. This is the cool part. This is when I knew it was big. May of 14. I believe is when they did this. They had the big party downtown, and this is middle of May. Every football coach in the conference showed up, and when you can get all four, like Steve Spurrier was there. You know what Steve Spurrier is doing in the middle of May every year? He's playing golf somewhere other than a Hilton Hotel ballroom. Nick Saban was there, Mark Richt, Kevin Sumlin, Les Miles. You can't even get all of the, not guaranteed. You can't get all of those guys guaranteed to media days, Phil Fulmer. And so they had this big party, this big announcement in 2014 with the SEC media days and with all the SEC head coaches, and I think they had basketball head coaches as well, to announce the official launch of the SEC Network. Well, they were, remember, a couple of years behind the Big Ten. Big Ten is as rock solid as any conference that you have right now, even the SEC, and they got a jump start on their boutique network, and they lost money like somebody had turned on a spigot and $1,000 bills were just pouring out of it. It was a disaster probably the first couple of years. There was so much infrastructure cost that had gotten away from them, and they didn't have the subscription model exactly how it should be. And I'll give Mike Slive all the credit in the world because he was King Daddy. He had the number one product in college football, and he said, sometimes the value is in being first. I'm going to put value in getting this right from the jump. And so around conference expansion and realignment, that was the backdrop, all right, that all the boutique TV networks. And increasing your television pro. So everybody except the SEC was wondering, are we going to lose teams? And everybody did. Everybody was either having conversations about, well, we're going to lose, you know, this, and everybody, the Big 12 lost teams. Remember the Pac-10, well, they were already starting too shy. So they didn't lose teams, but they were still trying to catch up. But everybody was on guard other than Mike Slive in the Southeastern Conference, and they should have been. Because even a conference like the Big Ten, if the right deal comes along, well, yeah, especially with all this money we've been losing on the Big Ten Network, at least they did initially the first couple of years. So why is this relevant on a Friday in March of 2019? Because of a TV deal that got announced this week with the AAC. Well, check the AAC, that's small potatoes. In March of 2019, you're right. But if I was to talk about Conference USA in March of 2010, you know the programs I would have been talking about. I would have been talking about virtually the entire AAC as it exists this morning. UCF was Conference USA. East Carolina was Conference USA. Memphis, Conference USA. Southern Methodist, Tulsa, Houston, Tulane, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Conference USA. So the Conference USA TV deal that I did talk about on the air in March of 2010, if you were thinking, well, does that matter to me? Well, it didn't matter to you then, but it mattered to what became the AAC. And the reason that the AAC matters today is because I can promise you, folks, write this down. Take down the rules, the side of the fridge. Write this down. The AAC, as it exists this morning, 4 years, totally different. Half those teams are going to be gone. And it's not necessarily the programs themselves. It's Orlando. It's Philadelphia. It's Cincinnati. It's Tampa. Are you listening to the markets that I'm naming? Let me continue. It's Houston. It's Memphis. It's New Orleans. It's Dallas. It's Baltimore. Can I claim Baltimore for Annapolis? Yeah. It's Baltimore. It's even Tulsa. It's a big city and a state. Good enough for me. Look at all those markets. The TV deal that was announced earlier this week increased the per-school payouts for each member of the AAC from roughly $2 million to just a little bit more than $7 million. So it's 3.5 times, and you think, oh, high cotton. Yeah, but there's even more of that when a conference comes calling like the ACC or the Big Ten or someone else and says, yeah, you've been getting $7 million a year. We give each of our schools $50 million a year. Now, the reason I said that there's going to be about a four-year delay in this, maybe a five-year delay, is you need to get to 2022-23. That's when a lot of the grant of media rights from schools to a conference like the ACC or the Big 12, those will expire. The reason this AAC deal is important, the American Athletic Conference doesn't have a grant of media rights. That I'm going to pick a school, Tulane in New Orleans, Tulane, Houston in Houston, Memphis in Memphis, Temple, Philadelphia, UCF, Orlando. They are not bound to the conference. So when I tell you that within 4 years, probably half the schools of the AAC will be in a different conference, it's because there is no legal binding agreement that says if you leave, we still keep your games, which if Florida State, for instance, decided we're going to the SEC, ACC would be great. That's fine. You leave. We still broadcast your games and get all the money. With the AAC, that's not in place.
If pointed at the sun, a mirror's reflection is too brilliant to look at directly. If pointed at darkness, the same mirror reflects only darkness. The power is in where the mirror is positioned. In the same way, God's Word calls us image bearers of God. When our hearts are pointed at Him, we can reflect God's glory and brilliance. God's Word says that mankind is created in God's image. This means that every person of every race has the potential to reflect the character and nature of God. But with each selfish action or acts of violence towards one another, we dishonor the image of God in that person and in ourselves. What if we viewed each person who crossed our path as an image bearer of God? Would that change how we interact? What if looking in the mirror, we saw ourselves as created in God's image? How would that change your own perception? We're all mirroring something or someone. Who are you reflecting? This is Bryant Wright, speaking right from my heart.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. 800-603-6298. That's 800-603-6298.